Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is August 1st, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out the History of Trading videos on the MarketsWiki Education page of johnlothiannews.com, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Former Bank of England chief economist Andy Haldane, who is now chief executive of the Royal Society of Art and a Financial Times contributing editor, has written a commentary in the FT titled "The Real Scandal of Central Bank Digital Currency," with the subheading, "We are missing an opportunity to level the monetary playing field in the interests of all citizens." Haldane makes the case that cash is, quote, "an interest-free loan to government, a direct tax on citizens levied in proportion to their cash holdings at a tax rate given by the interest rate." The agreement that central bank digital currencies not pay interest so as not to make them more competitive with commercial banks and undermine the stability of the banking system in times of trouble is a lost opportunity to level the playing field for individuals, Haldane argues. He ignores the question of privacy, which is often the first concern I hear about CBDC, but the tax on cash angle is one we don't often hear, and he makes an interesting argument. Elon Musk said he believes in free speech. It seems he just doesn't like free speech when it's about him or Twitter. Musk's X Corp is threatening to sue an anti-hate speech group, the Center for Countering Digital Hate, quote, "which has suggested there has been a rise in hate speech and disinformation on Twitter since the entrepreneur took over the platform," unquote, the Financial Times reported. "For some reason, I think this is a fight Mr. Musk is not going to want to get into. Rather, I expect him to try to bully the group, which is the wrong strategy for an anti-hate group." Florida governor and GOP presidential candidate Ron DeSantis is accusing the Biden administration of waging a war on Bitcoin and has vowed to end it if he should become president, CoinDesk reported. Speaking of the presidential race, there are more roadblocks for former President Donald Trump. Besides his growing list of indictments, there is a Charles Koch-tied group that has raised $78 million in the first half of 2023 that is trying to block Trump from becoming the Republican nominee, Bloomberg reported. Additionally, oil magnate and billionaire Republican donor Harold Hamm has told Trump to drop his bid for the White House and to help free the party of the chaos dogging the former president by acting instead as the party's kingmaker, a role for him to be very influential and back another candidate rather than seek a return to office, the Financial Times reported. The crypto couple ensnared in charges related to a $4.5 billion Bitcoin laundering scheme are set to plead guilty in federal court today. This is all related to an elaborate plot to sell Bitcoin that was stolen during the 2016 hack of Bitfinex, Business Insider said. The Intercontinental Exchange is hosting the annual ICE Climate and Capital Conference at the New York Stock Exchange on September 20th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The conference takes place during New York City Climate Week, and topics include physical climate risk, biodiversity loss, large-scale human migration, and changing regulatory frameworks. These will be addressed through a series of panels, fireside chats, and interactive discussions with industry leaders. experts from the Task Force on Nature-Related Financial Disclosures, Deutsche Bank, Schroders, Inclusive Capital Partners, and Columbia Universities, will join Elizabeth King, President, Sustainable Finance, and Chief Regulatory Officer at ICE, at the event. Gitterman Asset Management, FinTech TV, and Accenture are co-hosts of the event. Learn more and sign up for the free live stream with a link in today's newsletter. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were: the stock market's fear gauge just hit a 42-month low. Investors are ignoring a load of risk, hedge fund manager says. 2. More volatility beckons markets still digesting milestone week. And 3. Traders brace for $102 billion wave of Treasury bond sales. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Cboe's Yuri Sorokinov talks with JLN at IDX London about the European derivative space. Yuri Sorokinov, head of European derivatives at Cboe Global Markets, was interviewed by JLN correspondent Julie Ross at the FIA International Derivatives Week, IDX, in London recently. Sorokinov discussed Cboe's move in the European derivatives space and its competitive advantage for building a European derivatives exchange. JLN asked Sorokinov about the products CEDX offers and what differentiates CEDX from other exchanges in single stock options. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. We also have another video from our IDX coverage. Mark Spanbrook's FIA EPTDG Swan Song IDX interview with JLN's Julie Ross. IDX was full of goodbyes for Mark Spanbrook, the long-serving chair of the FIA European Principal Traders Group. JLN did not want to be left out, and so JLN correspondent Julie Ross interviewed Spanbrook at FIA's International Derivatives Week after he had been interviewed on stage by former FT journalist Jeremy Grant. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from CoinDesk. The headline: industry still isn't close to solving blockchain trilemma, Off-Chain Labs chief strategy officer. Since the arrival of CryptoKitties in 2017 and DeFi Summer in 2020, the industry is still grappling with how to make blockchains better, cheaper, and faster. And this is precisely where Off-Chain Labs chief strategy officer AJ Warner and his team are setting up camp and solving the famed blockchain trilemma. The blockchain trilemma refers to the three core challenges developers face when building a blockchain: scalability, security, and decentralization. Gains made in one of these areas are concessions in another. Here is an idea. This is my comment. Don't use blockchain. Use something better, cheaper, and faster. But then say that you do use blockchain. No, wait. That is already being tried. Here's a story from The Trade. The headline: Ledger Edge closes 3 years after launch. The bond trading platform has gone into administration despite continued client support and improved traction in 2023. Startup bond trading platform Ledger Edge has closed 3 years after its establishment due to, quote, an extremely challenging funding environment, unquote, the organization has confirmed. The business was launched by industry veteran and founder of blockchain consortium R3, David Reuter, in a bid to digitize the traditional corporate bond market. The firm focused on expanding the reach of electronic trading and providing market participants an alternative model. My comment: how do you discover how to make a light bulb? You keep trying until you succeed. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was a tie between Bloomberg's Virtu is bracing for SEC lawsuit after settlement talks fail, and the Wall Street Journal's little-known tips for working smarter with your office software. Second was the best shoes for standing all day from the Wall Street Journal buy side. And third was notice of disciplinary action against Alessandro Bonafini from the CME Group. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline, War, AI, Climate Change Shake Up $32 Trillion in Global Trade. From Morocco to Mexico, what this new world is starting to look like on the ground. In Morocco, trucks from a Connecticut logistics company ferry car parts and clothing across the Straits of Gibraltar. In Japan, a new semiconductor plant transforms a once quiet farm town. In France, a battery plant's staff learns to supervise new colleagues, robots. These moments, which might seem unrelated, represent a transformation in world trade. U.S.-China tensions and Russia's invasion of Ukraine are leading companies to bring supply chains closer to home. A shift from fossil fuels is spurring demand for materials essential for electrification. Artificial intelligence is forcing employees to learn new skills so they won't be replaced by computers. Long before these trends are reflected in government data, they're already changing global commerce, which amounts to $32 trillion a year in goods and services, according to the World Trade Organization. Bloomberg Markets dispatched reporters to discover what this upheaval looks like on the ground. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. BlackRock MSC faced congressional probes for facilitating China investments. Americans' retirement funds are unwittingly fueling Chinese firms. The U.S. has flagged over security and human rights issues, lawmakers say. The world's largest asset manager and a top stock market index compiler are being investigated by a congressional committee for facilitating American investment in Chinese companies the U.S. government has accused of bolstering China's military and violating human rights. And then finally, another story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Carbon Offset Market Opens to Small Southern Timberland Owners. Commodity trader Mercuria to buy credits produced by BP's Finite Carbon. One of the country's largest forest carbon firms is launching a platform to enable southern timberland owners to sell carbon offsets on properties as small as 40 acres, expanding a market that has mostly been limited to owners of vast wooded tracts. Finite Carbon, which is majority owned by energy giant BP, said it would begin this month to enroll landowners in 13 southern states in the program. It will pay them quarterly if they agree to not cut down trees for 20 years, and then maintain a steady volume of standing timber on their property for another two decades. The trees must be big enough to be saleable at the time the no-cut contract is signed. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.